you need this one. Okay. You don't want the clicker though, right?
I know.
Check, check, check.
Yeah, he'll come down.
Well, we're excited to tell about what happened last, well, a week and a bit ago. We just got back last Sunday morning in the wee hours. So this morning we want to share with you our experience, inspire and challenge you a little bit, and ask for your prayer for what's going on in Mexico. So our first thing is a challenge to you. We're going to ask you to multitask. I know that's a tall order because I can't do it, but I'll assume that you are all a little more capable. We're going to have our pictures running behind us. And it'll just, they'll be on a cycle, so you'll probably see them four or five times before the end. So if you miss one because you're paying attention to what we're saying, that's fine. You know, you can look up and back to kind of get a context for what we're talking about, but we're not going to really reference those as we speak. And then we'll try to leave a little room for questions at the end, but we're basically going to take you through the week and give you an idea of what happens. So starting right off, before we actually left, one of our team members was not able to go. We do still consider him to be part of the team because he prepared with us and he was all ready to go. But Jack, can you tell us a little bit about what happened before we left?
Hello. On Sunday, the Sunday before the trip, I had an episode of a very high heart rate. And the doctor didn't know what it was. He had a pretty good idea, but we still didn't have enough. And so my parents decided that it wasn't a good idea to go. And so, yeah, I didn't get to go. And it was very sad, but I'm very glad that the team got to finish the house and that no one got hurt too severely. And yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, he's got some parents that are a little protective, I guess. So that was really sad. But Friday afternoon, we all came. Jack actually came to see us off as well. We loaded up our bus to head for our first stop, and that was Seattle. So the border crossing went smoothly. The ride was fine. No pop tires or anything. But our first little hiccup was at the hotel when they didn't have a place for us to park our bus for the week, like they told me they would when I called three or four times to confirm. So I was a little ticked off at them and told them they had to fix it. And fortunately, they were very helpful and they called around and they found a place for us to park and we're back on track. Just took about an hour and everybody here was a little ready to get in their hotel room. So we had an early flight in the morning that went smoothly. We were all able to fit into our shuttle bus. There's a picture up of all of us stuffed in San Diego that got us to our second stop, which was our hotel room in San Diego. They had one room ready for us, so we all packed into one room, took a nap together. No, we just dumped our stuff. And then we set out for our 5 or 10 mile hike. How long do you guys think it was to In-N-Out Burger? We, a few of us got sunburned, and then we came back to our hotel room and they had it all ready. We ate dinner together and had our team devotions and our last good night of sleep before heading to Los Olivos, where we were on mattress pads and sleeping pads. So before getting on the bus for our 6 hours of driving, we collected all the cell phones and we wanted Mexico to be a tech-free experience. The second border went smoothly, and we were all excited but a little bit nervous. Keenan, can you tell us a little bit about what it felt like for you to cross the border?
I was a little bit nervous going across the border because, you know, anything could happen down there.
So I think that might have been all of our thoughts. It's like, okay. But it went fine. We had one stop for lunch in Ensenada, and 6 hours of driving brought us to San Quintin in Los Olivos. And Nathan, you could use mine. tell us a little bit about what it felt like for you to cross the border.
It felt really good to be back. God's doing a lot of amazing stuff there, a lot of good memories for the guys who were there last time. So when we came back into Los Olivos, felt good to be back. Driving through San Quintin, pointing out spots we remembered, spots we thought were new or maybe didn't remember. And it was just really, really cool to see San Quintin again and good to be back, yeah.
Thank you. I didn't mention that Nathan, James, Dan, and Austin had all been there on our previous trip, so for them it was coming back. Dan, let me fill you in before I pass it to Dan. Sunday night and Monday morning we had a bit of orientation, and then we were off to the job site for the first time. Before I ask Dan this, though, we had a little bit of sad news. Rob and Brenda, who some of you know from San Quintin and Los Olivos, they are the president and of the organization, and they were supposed to be with us that week, and Brenda's sister was really sick, and so they had to leave and come back. So they decided Sunday to leave on Monday. So so we got that sad news, but he has great staff, and we were able to carry on without them. So we headed off to the job site the first time on Monday morning. And Dan, what did it feel like to see the job site for the first time?
I was expecting the job site to be flat, and then when I found out it was on a hill, I thought it would make it a bit more difficult to build the house, but it actually made it a lot better. I was excited.
It made it better?
Well, for the other side.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Brendan was our site leader. So, Brendan, what was it like for you to see the site for the first time?
Well, I was a little nervous, as I haven't led one of these builds in 5 years, so I was, and Rob wasn't there, and so I was a little concerned about that, and it was a little disappointing when we showed up to the job site and we didn't have any wood, so there were some hiccups there, and we weren't able to start till probably around 11, but it was good. Felt good.
Brendan was a great leader. He delegated well. He stepped back when people knew what they were doing. He just did really well, and I was really impressed with this team. They were all willing to do what was needed to step in and help. Austin, you made a conscious choice about working this time. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Last time we went, I felt like I was going there for my own pleasure, and it didn't have the effect on me that I thought it would. So I wanted to go a second time and actually do God's work instead of relaxing in the shade and enjoying the time. And stepping up and working and offering help where it's needed made me feel like I was part of something much bigger, and I could feel God working through me and into other people.
And we really noticed that, Austin. That was really cool that you stepped in so well. So by the end of the first day, we had all our walls ready to stand up, and our roof panels were nearly finished. So that was pretty amazing first day. We have, especially without the wood there. So we just imagined it into place. We affectionately refer to Mexico with a term that kind of describes our Canadian mindset, mixing with a different culture of Mexico. We call it Flexico, because you have to be flexible in a different way than you are in Canada. Maybe not, but we just kind of have fun with that a little bit. This is FlexGo. When something changes, we just say that. And our schedule did change several times during the week. The first one was when Monday didn't go for tacos like we were expecting to. Like, everybody was so excited to go for tacos. And we had to take on Austin's mindset of, well, we're here to serve the Lord. So that was Monday. Tuesday morning, Sarah, Austin, and Julia, and Christy had the opportunity to go to the dump, which is close by to where Los Olivos is, and people earn a living on that dump. So Julia, would you tell us a little bit about, where is Julia? There she is. Tell us a little bit about what that was like.
So going to the dump was, it was sad and it was exciting because it's sad because you see that people have lived there and like you walk in and there's a smell and there's flies everywhere and there's smoke coming from when they're burning the trash. But it's exciting because they tell us about how it's improved so much over the past few years. There used to be people living there a lot, but then after they've been working there, it's gotten a lot better, and that's just really great to see.
Thanks, Julia. And Austin, how about you? What was that like for you?
It was a real eye-opener for me because looking at the dump and looking at the dump we have here are very, very different. And people there are casually sitting there sorting the garbage. They're happy to be there. And when I go to the dump with my dad to unload some stuff, it feels like a pain, like a chore to me because I don't want to be there. I just want to go there and get it over with. But at the dump in Mexico, people want to be there because it's some of their main source of income.
So while they were at the dump, the rest of us continued to work on the house. And Christy, can you tell us a little bit about what it was like for you at the job site? Oh, you're down there.
I found it really cool that all these kids would come and they would help paint. And they were not all the best at painting, but they did what they could. And they really helped paint a lot of stuff. They painted the house and the outhouse, and then when they ran out of stuff to paint, they painted this wooden post behind the outhouse. You can see it in some of the pictures.
So when the people came back from the dump, we had lunch, and then we had another group that was able to go to do some vacation Bible school at a local school. And Julia, you said when you first entered the school, it was one of your most memorable experiences. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
So when we went to the school, as soon as you walk in, I got hugged by like five kids, and I got a number of high fives. And the kids were just so excited to see us, and that was really great.
You also mentioned that you were challenged a bit. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It was a bit challenging going out of my comfort zone, especially because of the language barrier, just kind of playing with the kids, and you can't really talk to them. You kind of have to just point to things and just use your actions as words, and that's a bit difficult sometimes.
And then Dan, where are you, Dan? Oh, there he is. Dan was also there. Maybe we should keep passing this one because the cord gets in the way. So, Dan, what was it like for you? Because you were on that with that group too.
It was very fun, and it was a very good experience to see how kids there learn in their school environment. Just watching them play and learn is very powerful. And sometimes we can take it for granted here in Canada, especially I did when I was younger. Playing with the kids was probably the most powerful and the best experience because they just want to have fun with you because you're foreign. And they find it funny to laugh at you when you don't understand what they're trying to say. I didn't understand them, and I ended up getting punched in the face.
You still love that kid?
Yes.
See, we have a great team. Willing to take the hits. Okay, so back at the house build, we had the house up with a coat of paint on, the roof was done, and the interior walls were nearly completed. Austin, you said you saw God working on the site. Can you explain that a little bit?
I saw God working on the site with all the people that came around and helped, because it was originally just supposed to be us, the husband, Ismail, and a few other people, and all these other people, kids and teenagers, started coming along, helping paint, nail, and it felt like God was on the site with us, helping us get the house done for the family, even though those people didn't need to be there at all.
That's cool. Brendan, how are you feeling about the progress so far, being our fearless leader?
Yeah, it was really good. We had a really good team, and we worked really well together, and it was nice being able to just delegate things to groups and leaving and not having to worry about that. And yeah, our progress was doing very well at that time.
Yeah, only day two and so much had happened, but it was far from over. After dinner, we loaded up on the 15-passenger van that we kind of claimed, actually. We just took that van whenever we needed to. Our translator, Danny, our whole team and him went to visit the family we had built for last time. And five of our team, me and the four guys I pointed out, had been on that trip where we built for Gregorio and Carmela. Nathan, can you tell us a little bit about what it was like to see them and their kids again?
Yeah, this was really cool. We showed up completely unannounced. Usually they try to get a hold of the families first. They were unable to do that. So we showed up at their front door with our translator, and they were inside the house. Their translator is like, yoo-hoo, and so they came outside. And Carmela saw us, and she almost started crying right away. She was so happy to see us. She shared that she'd been praying for like a year that we would come back and visit her so she could thank us and whatever. So that was a really cool experience. Last time, their youngest son was crawling on the ground. This time, he was walking and running around. That was cool to see. And their father, Gregorio, has made a lot of steps towards Christ. He's been attending church more. That's the thing we were praying about for him afterwards, is we knew he wasn't a Christian, wasn't attending church. And so he's attending church occasionally, and their church is growing really quickly, and that was really cool to see.
Austin, you were there last time as well. What was it like for you to visit them?
Well, like I said before, last time I went partially for like my own pleasure and experience, but even though I didn't do a whole lot down there last time, going back there still brought tears of joy to my eyes, because I saw God working through us into them, and they were praying for us about like a year or two, as Nathan said, and just seeing them cry because we were back was a real eye-opener for me, because even though I didn't do a whole lot, they were still really excited to see us.
Thank you. And James, do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, I don't know. They've said a lot. Carmela recognized us instantly when we went on. She saw Jeff, and she knew exactly who we were, which was really nice to see. Also, it sounds like a group from Oregon, they said, was with their church because they outgrew their building, and they were building them a new building, and they were also doing some outreach in the community, and it sounds like Carmela was a huge part of that. So it's nice to see that she was getting really involved, and I remember when we went last time that I think she was fairly new to the church, so it's really nice to see her getting involved, and Gregorio starting to come every now and then as well.
Thanks. Yeah, as James said, I didn't know what to expect visiting the family. I didn't. What are we going to say? And Carmela gave me a huge hug, and I think she hugged each of us. It was pretty cool. So then Wednesday morning, we had another Flexico incident where we found that some of us who were planning to go to the dump couldn't go because they were burning the garbage. I think that's how they deal with the garbage. They just burn it. So we couldn't go. But we just went with the flow, and we worked on the house in the afternoon. Again, another group got to go do Vacation Bible School with a different class. Keenan, you were on that group. What was that like for you?
Well, I didn't really want to go at first because I just wanted to really stay on the site. But when I got there, I didn't want to leave.
It's pretty neat. And Nathan, how about anything else for you?
I knew we had a really good chance of finishing the house on Wednesday, which I last time we finished Thursday afternoon, and I wanted to get it done fast, and then Jeff's like, hi, you're going to VBS. So, it was a really cool experience. Me, Nathan, and Keenan were racing around the playground with kids on our backs and then switching them out for different kids and racing again. We did that like a whole bunch of times in a row, and then we couldn't walk afterwards. And it was really fun. We made balloon animals with the kids, and none of us three knew how to do that, and Sarah thought it would be a good idea. So we had some people from the other group help us because they knew what they were doing, and we three inflated balloons. It was really cool to see the kids. They're really happy playing games, happy to see us, and it was a cool eye-opener. I know us, we tend to think of school as something we have to do, but them, they really enjoy going there.
Yeah, I was impressed with these guys. We have a real hands-on group that really wanted to just build, and so they didn't want to get taken away, and they didn't really like it, but they didn't argue or complain. They just did it. So I was really impressed by that. Also, I didn't mention at the beginning, Sarah was not able to be here with us this morning, and she was amazing. She was really great. I was really happy to have her. So if you see her, you can tell her that we praised her up a bit. She was good. I'd ask her to come at any time. Back at the site, we did finish the house. And it was the fastest build I had ever been a part of. We were all super excited. Well, Brendan, what was it like for you? Tell us a little bit about that.
So I've spent a bit of time down there working beforehand, and Rob, Arturo, and I always kind of had a bit of a competitive side to us, and we'd see who could build their house the fastest. And so it was kind of funny when Rob was leaving to go back to Canada, he said to me, Brendan, you better kick their butts. So we did a really good job, and it was one of the fastest builds I've been on. But we also had to really get our pride in check and make sure that that wasn't the reason that we were down. And yeah, just to use our time, our extra time, to serve God.
Yeah, I've been in on that race as well when I built with Rob. Never against you, so this is good. But I intentionally stepped back and said, I'm not going to do that. And I usually pounding things out, and I stepped back because we had people that knew what they were doing. And I was just amazed. We got it done, and I think you did the same. We both tried to step back, so it wasn't like we were trying to get everything done and order people around. I think I ordered people around on Wednesday morning because I was a little grumpy. But anyways, so that's that was really cool. So Thursday morning, our house was done, so we were able to all be part of something new that One Life, One Chance is doing. And James, I'll let you tell us a little bit about what that is. Go ahead.
Thursday morning, we went up the mountain beside the town, kind of, which was right near Los Olivos. And one of the translators, Marcos, told us about the history of San Quintin and what One Life, One Chance is doing there. And he compared San Quintin to Nineveh. And he said San Quintin is about the same size as Nineveh back in the day. And he said that the way God told Jonah to go there, the way God poured his spirit over them, he said that he prayed that God would do the same thing to San Quintin. And he also compared it to Jerusalem, which before Jesus was executed, he wept over, because their Savior was there and they didn't recognize him. And so he says the same thing, that Jesus is working in San Quintin, but a lot of people aren't recognizing that. And so he invited us to pray that God would weep over San Quintin as well.
Thanks, James. Yeah, and Julia, you mentioned that the prayer walk that James told us about was one of your most memorable experiences as well. Tell us a little bit more about your experience.
So we went up the hill and we sang some songs and then we heard the history and then we prayed and it was really powerful. It really felt like God was there. And yeah, I think I'll remember that for a really long time.
Nathan, you also mentioned that this was one of your most memorable experiences. Can you tell us about what made it memorable for you?
Sure. It was really, really cool to see the whole valley. Usually you drive down the main road and all you see is the stands outside the main road and Los Olivos and the house you build. I couldn't help but thinking how long it would take for the whole valley to be filled with One Life, One Chance houses. Because you can see it, look through the hillside, and it's scattered with houses that have been done because they've been doing this for so long. So, yeah, and just a reminder to pray about them actively.
Thank you. So after our prayer lookout experience, we went back to the job site and had lunch. And then Brendan had a few touch-up things to do. The house was done. We could have given it to him, but he was like, I want to make it really good. So you want to tell about that?
I also realized that I installed the door Brendan height, and it was actually supposed to be the other way around for Mexico height. So I had to go change that around.
I couldn't reach the doorknob. It was perfect. So, that was funny. Then we had another group that went to Vacation Bible Study again. Actually, most of us went. Brendan stayed back with a couple people to do those chores. But and Austin, you had a little experience on the playground. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what happened there?
At the end, when we were all packing up to get back on the bus and head to the job site, I decided to swing off the soccer post, but there was two of them, and I tried to launch myself as far as I could, and upon doing that, I smashed my forehead on the second post. There was a little detour in the schedule there. A little bit of blood, not much. I got many, many pats on the back from little kids, though. That was great.
Yeah, we were a little concerned. I had two concerned moments. One was with Austin, and another one was with a potential allergy. And I lost someone, and I thought, oh no, are they off dying somewhere because they ate something? But they were fine. So, Thursday night, we were able to go and be a part of Ismael and Teresa's church. Ismael worked with us all week, and their pastor, Ruben, also worked with us. And so it was really fun to be able to go to their church and experience that with them. Kenan, what were you thinking and feeling as you were preparing to go to church?
I was a bit excited because I didn't know what church was like down in Mexico, and I wanted to find out what it would be like in a different culture. Mm-hmm.
Anything stand out to you about that? Nope. Okay. That's fine. Nathan, if anyone had a reason to be a little upset with me, it was Nathan because, I'll let him tell the story. Tell us about that.
While we were at the church, me and Dan got the opportunity to share our testimonies. We were voluntold, not volunteered. So I was a little annoyed about that because I feel as someone my age, all I can say is I was born in a Christian family and Jesus is great. So tried to expand on that a little bit and it was good. And just the whole church experience is great. I love the Mexican churches. When the pastor goes up to pray, everyone starts praying individually and it gets really loud and it's really cool to be a part of. Then afterwards, we had hot chocolate and stuff and hang around. We talked with the family, played with the girl the family they're building the house for, their little girl. And it was fun to be there.
Thank you. Dan, you also shared your testimony. What was that like for you?
It was a very different experience from sharing with someone, with people who speak the same language. sharing with people the same language they can understand, and they can kind of get a sense of what you're trying to explain. But when you're trying to say it to someone who doesn't understand what you're trying to say in your own language, it can get miscommunicated sometimes. So I felt like I was trying to say something, and then when it was being interpreted, it wouldn't always be the same as I was saying it. But overall, I felt moved to see all the people support me.
Is that why they all laughed at you at one point? Yeah, I got to preach after they shared their testimony, and it is weird to say a sentence and then have them say a sentence. You wonder if people are tracking with you or not, but it went well. Friday is dedication day, and it's a very exciting and emotional time. If any of you have been a part of that, you know what that's like to hand over the keys and share with share to the family. But Austin, tell us how it felt for you to give the keys to Ismail and Teresa.
It felt really great because last time I didn't want to be there for God as much as for myself, but this time it felt like more powerful, had more bigger impact on me because I was doing something for God and for the family, something bigger than myself.
How about you, James? What were you thinking and feeling?
It was really powerful for me, mainly because of what Teresa, the mother, said. And I'm just going to try and paraphrase what she said. She said that before she moved to San Quintin, her mother died. I think it was her mother, maybe her father. One of them died. And she was very sad, and she said her brother told her to trust God that he has a plan. And then she moved to San Quintin with her husband, and they had a son, and he also passed away. And then recently, before we went there, her other parent passed away as well. And she said her brother told her the same thing, trust in God, he has a plan, it's going to work out. And she said that we were God's response, that we were the answer to her prayers, and that we were filling that grief that she had. And she said she didn't expect to get a house when she applied for one. And so it was really powerful to just hear that we were sent by God.
So yeah, pretty powerful time. Friday afternoon, we usually go to the beach, but this time we had someone who had explored the area a bit more right here. And so he told us about this place that we could try. And so Dan, could you tell us a little bit about what we did?
We went more south, and we decided to explore where all this lava rock formed on the coast. And when we got there, it was really cool to see all the water splash up and like expand in the air, to see it like fly behind us in the photos. You can may see it. As we were exploring, we came across this cave where the roof collapsed, and you can see the seals laying on the beach, and it was really cool.
Brendan, you had been there a long time ago, and you were taking us on this adventure. Dan didn't quite tell how adventurous it was getting there, but what was it like for you leading us into this adventure?
Yeah, we kind of had to... We tried to keep it a little bit of a secret, because the staff that was down there didn't really want us to go. But you can't go down to Mexico and not do a little bit of off-roading. So we loaded up the 15-passenger van and found some vague directions and followed them and made it all the way down without breaking down. So it was good. Yeah, a lot of fun.
Anybody else have anything to share about their bumpy experience? Basically, we were on, were they like logging roads? But
washed out roads, yeah.
And I asked Brendan to get out a couple times to make sure we weren't going to crush our van. But we got there, so it was really fun. So Friday night, we went out for tacos. Actually, Thursday night, we went out for tacos. I forgot to mention that. We did get our tacos, and we went out again on Friday because we loved them. A couple people went out for, was that just you? Went
No, there were a couple of us. Okay. Dan, you good?
California hot dogs, where they wrap it in bacon and put all kinds of stuff on it. But so we had great food while we were there. So we went out for tacos and we came back and we started packing for our early morning inhuman 4:30 pickup time and nearly 24 hours of travel the next day. So on that trip home, I asked everybody, I gave them a sheet with some questions on it and asked them, you know, how was God working in your life? What did you see God working down there? What did they learn? What do you hope to do different when you get home? Christy, how did you see God working?
I saw God working by making me feel useful. Even if I was just painting, I felt like I was accomplishing something and getting something done, and that the family seemed really thankful, and that made me seem like I was actually doing something purposeful.
Keenan, what did you learn in San Quintin?
That it seems like it's a lot harder to live down in San Quintin than it is up here.
Dan, how about you? What did you learn? I guess we should have sat you close to each other.
I learned that anything can change down there, hence the term Flexico, and everyone down there works hard to support themselves. When we were visiting the family, I heard Gregorio speaking about how he has multiple jobs, and he's constantly going from one place to the next to earn some money. I also heard from a lot of other people who were at the camp talking about their families, and some were saying that they also worked multiple jobs. So it kind of made me feel like down there a lot of people have to really, really work hard to kind of get the lifestyle that, well, I wouldn't say what we have, but like do the best they can to support them, their families.
Pass it to Christy. So Christy, you mentioned that you learned something there too. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I learned that they don't have a lot of stuff, but they're really happy with what they have. And just giving a kid like a little tube of bubbles just makes their day.
Hmm. Nathan, the other Nathan, what did you learn?
I learned that the culture is similar, but it's different because everybody there is trying to better themselves, but it's more poverty.
And Nathan, you also said that you would do something differently when you came home. Can you explain what that was?
Yeah, I will take the time to learn somebody's situation before I judge their situation.
Thank you, yeah. Nathan, you also, the other Nathan, you also mentioned that you would do something differently when you got home. So what was that?
Yes, I'm talking again. throughout the whole experience, you can feel God's presence. Every little thing you do throughout the day, it's the goal of the mission is about Jesus, and you can feel that. And when you come back, you feel sort of disconnected from God. So I don't know, for me, it's more about spending more time with God, being more connected. In Mexico, you're thinking about him, about his work, about his kingdom, like, a lot. And you come back, and, yeah, it's the occasional thought, and that's not good enough. So just spending more time with him, connecting better, because I think that's something we don't do enough of.
Yeah, I think that's a good place for us to end our sharing. I hope it gives you a good overview of our experience. We'd like to ask you to continue with us praying for Ismael and Teresa. That's the family that we built for, that they would make this house a home, that they would be a witness to their neighborhood. Pray for Reuben and the church that they go to, that's in their neighborhood as well, that they would continue to have an influence in that area, and also continue to pray for Gregorio and Carmelo. Those are the people that we visited from last time. Carmela is asking that Gregorio would fully commit. So as we mentioned, he has made progress towards coming to faith. I'm not sure if that means that he has asked Jesus to be Lord of his life or not. But she's asking that he would fully commit, so maybe continue to pray for that. We also wanted to give you a chance to ask any questions. I mean, if you've never been or if you have been and you're like, well, what about that? We can take a little bit of time. So if anybody has any questions, feel free. If you don't, that's totally fine. But we'll just be comfortable with silence for a minute until anybody does or not.
What are the dorms like to sleep in?
Ah, who wants to tell?
Brendan.
Having spent a lot of time in a tent down there, it was really nice to have a room that had a concrete floor and a bed.
Oh, Dan, you probably want to tell about that.
I found it very difficult to sleep on the plywood bunk beds. Even though I had a mat, it didn't really help. And when I found this blow-up mattress, it only went up to my knees. So I ended up sleeping on it, and my feet would hang over, and then they would hang over the edge of the bunk bed because it wasn't very long enough. It wasn't very wide either, so I had to balance in the middle of the night. And one morning, I actually woke up because I fell out of bed.
I don't think Dan's experience has to be the way it is. It's just, it adds a fullness for you. They were good. They were good dorms.
Is the House of Refuge operating?
I don't know who all went through it. We didn't actually all go through that, did we? I'm sorry about that. We forgot to take you through. I was able to go through it. No, it's not in operation yet. What they're waiting for is the right couple from that area to be house parents. So there's lots of need for it, but they have to find that right couple to be the leaders of it. How many other teams were there? Anybody want to talk about the other team?
There was one other team that was there, but there was like 45 of them. So they did two builds. They were from Summerland, which is like, I think it's by like Penticton and Kelowna or something. So their joke was they brought half their town along.
Yeah. That was that week that we were there. The week before, there was Cascade Christian School and then another family. So two teams too. Yeah?
Was there a building code you had to meet?
Well, Brendan, tell us about the building code.
No, there isn't. It's very, well, actually, it actually surprised me because going through the House of Refuge, because that's going to be a commercial use building, they actually had a pretty strict code that they had to follow, which surprised me for Mexico. But as for the houses, structurally it's perfectly acceptable, but it's not to code. Canadian code.
Yeah. There's no electricity or plumbing or anything in it, so it's not like, you know, you have to worry about some of those things. I asked Brendan about how to do something one time. He said, well, it's just up to the builder. And I decided to do it this way. So he was the code. Yeah. You did. We raised that. So thank you. That was, we had to, They were $5 short on Monday morning. That's why the wood wasn't there. I'm just joking. we raised that money. So thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the family was renting. I don't know what they were like before that, before they moved to San Quintin, but it sounds like their place was really small.
And I don't know if there's a picture up there or not, but it was kind of neat how it worked. We were about 20, 25 minutes away from where we stayed to build the house, and all three houses were kind of in a row. So if we were missing something, we'd just go down and get something from the other team, because we're all working through San Quintin. Yeah, usually they were coming to borrow our stuff because they saw how good we were. Pride, stop. But what was your question again? I lost myself.
What were they living in?
Oh, but their house, one of their houses was it was just plastic, you know, the vapor barrier that you put in your walls here in Canada. They just found a bunch of that and wrapped their whatever they could find to make a house. It was pretty sad to look at. Who fell off the roof?
Nobody fell off the roof, but it was the ground was on a slant, so we could jump off the roof and jump up from the one side.
That's right. Yeah. Well, we'll be around while there's coffee and stuff. You can, single one of us out and ask. Just find a purple shirt. I think that's all we have. Hand it back over to Pastor Matt.